while there were a lot of other people who had a lot to do with my spiritual life over the years, I can't say there are too many that have been as consistent for so long, for so many years. We talk every week, sometimes twice a week. And we've gone through a lot together in the past several years. And to have him here as long as he's been here this week has been great, hasn't it? He's had opportunity to see us, and we have opportunity to spend time with him. And I think when you're around a group of people, you're much more, usually much more capable of seeing what's needed to be taught. And even in the first few days, I watched him just adjust a little bit, and just a great teacher and a great friend. And I'm so happy that he's been here. He goes back tomorrow, so we want to be praying for his trip back home. And as he goes down, I pray that the temperature goes above 25 degrees for you. And that, so again, let's, Dr. Lewis is going to preach for us this morning, so let's give him a big hand. Welcome.
Oh, gee. I want to say thank you for being such a kind church and to take care of Pastor Jerry and his wife and being his children and loving them the way that you have. His desire to serve God is very genuine and has been that trip. When those things happen, you know, you never know the impact it'll have on people's lives. But I'm just so thankful that God kept him in this area to be a ministry to you today, and what has happened in the lives of many people who've come to Christ because of it. And he and Karen have certainly been true to God and done their best to be available to serve him. Father, this morning we want to thank you for this church, Father, and for each one that's here, each one who serves in whatever capacity. And Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is who we're pursuing, as we spoke and discussed in the Sunday school class this morning. And we pray, Father, in these few moments this morning, as your people are gathered here, that our hearts would be in tune to what the Spirit of God is saying. Thank you for the beautiful music and that song that Pastor Jerry just sang about remembering how that you remember, and we want to remember you, and we thank you so much that you remember us. And we ask you now, bless this word as we discuss this, and Father, encourage our hearts this morning to know who you are more than ever. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning, I guess, could be that basically that God remembers. And I've been exercised in this more than ever this past year, with especially last 7 months, the faithfulness of God to be ever kind and comforting and to remember personally my own life and with the passing of my wife. And I just think this morning that some of the things that most deliver us from our own selves and the things that happen in this world is the fact that God never forgets who we are and never ever is non-productive and kind during these times. It's a beautiful verse, and it's... I'll turn to that. I save my place here, but I wanted to read this again this morning. And this is very true of everyone here today. In Hebrews chapter 6, which sometimes is a chapter that has been really debated a lot, but I love what it says here in verse 10. It says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown towards him, his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister." What a great verse, huh? That's a promise this morning that is significant in the fact that, you know, all kinds of things in this world are easily forgotten. I was thinking about how many generations before this in Seneca Falls that most people have forgotten about, but they are ones who, many of them, walked with God. In our country, we've seen all kinds of things happen. I was thinking of how many people in the what's called the Great Generation who gave their lives. We're talking during World War II, that during that period of time, worldwide, there was close to some estimates, 80 million people lost their lives for the cause of freedom. Through Nazi Germany, through the Japanese, through Russia, all kinds of things happened. People that lost their lives here in this country to keep us free, all those things. But you know what? God never forgets the lives that have been given to serve others or to bring redemption to lives, the preaching of the gospel. The countless, let's put it a little more personal here, the countless hours that you spent raising your children. The days that you, in the nights maybe, that you had sleepless nights and you prayed and God remembered. And your children now are serving him, are in a place where because of the faithfulness of God to remember, God kept his promises. So, you know, back in, I think it was the in the 80s, Bill Gates invented the the Microsoft, beginning of Microsoft and so forth. And he thought that maybe 600 to 800 megabytes would be about all that anybody would ever need in a computer. Well, that's long gone. Now we're talking about terabytes and all kinds of bytes bigger than that. And the multitudes of things that are all on hard drives. I mean, I have videos of in the late 80s through the 90s, through the 2000s, all kinds of videos. And they're all, when I haul them out, you say, wow, I never knew, but it's all recorded. Well, you know, tonight, this morning, God has recorded and has a memory that isn't easily, he never forgets. He never forgets those things that were done to glorify him. Now, the direct negative opposite of that is, which is wonderful, is that he also has a tremendous memory that he forgot. It's gone forever. He'll never bring it up. We mentioned in the class this morning that as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins. Nobody can bring those up again. When it comes, we stand before him one day, it won't be recorded. Nothing will be there for the believer. It's buried in the depths of the sea, those sins, never to be called up again. Never remembers anything. And God is so kind and faithful to make it clear that the things that he remembers always have great significance. Now, the beauty this morning is, and I just want us to get a great big glimpse of who God is today. Now, the vastness of our universe is beyond comprehension. It'll take us eons of time to understand how much God has created outside of these little walls that we live in today. And then we find that out of those vast, this vast universe, all the galaxies that comprise the universe, we think our galaxy's big. Now, it's peanuts compared to some of the galaxies that are in the universe that have been discovered and have been seen by telescopes and whatever, but not because of the transfer and the traveling of light. There's much that we haven't seen. That's how big God is today. Think of that, how big God is today. And then we consider our little sun, and around that sun is a group of planets. And out of that, out of those group of planets that are so far smaller than that sun, is this little planet Earth that's rotating around the sun. And in that Earth is 7 billion people, but so tiny that one little person compared, can't even see it hardly, compared to the universe. And out of that universe of all, with all those people on this earth, in so tiny and so small, God, the creator of all that, lives in yours and my heart. That's something. Now, the greatness of God this morning is overwhelming. That he would care and extend his love from this vast creation that he's made, which is, and even beyond that, that this is just a, the universe is just a creation of his, but it's not all there is. That's only a part of who he is. Now, this morning I want us to just think about how faithful he is, and because I think that maybe there's people here today, I know in my own heart, I have to exercise this regularly. But God has some desires for us to remember how much he remembers you and me today. You see, in Genesis 8, verse 1, God had said, okay, Noah, I'm going to take you. You build an ark, specific dimensions, and you fill it with people, and you fill it with your family, and you fill it with the animals two by two, and you put them in that ark, and I'm going to destroy the world. He destroyed the world. God was so hurt and so wounded in chapter 6 that it says he almost repented that he says, my spirit will not always dwell with men. And God had the opportunity to completely wipe out the entire universe because of evil that had progressed and grown in such a way. But he remembered Noah and his family. He remembered Noah. And it says in verse 8, after all this had happened, all this tremendous destruction and all the deluge, it says, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in a boat, it was raining and pouring and lightning and all kinds of things and all around people dying and drowning and everything, and I'm inside that boat, and I'm saying, you know, I wonder if God's going to remember me. Wow, we're just this little speck on all this vast water now, and will God remember me? And it says, and God remembered Noah. You say, well, this morning, you know, I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I have any significance with God. I don't know if there's anything that's really of great value that God would want to remember me. Let me tell you something right now. Noah felt the same way, and God remembered him. Then we find in Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, disobedient Lot, he was the head. He was one of the leaders in the city of Sodom. He'd had an argument with his uncle, and he'd gone to the plains of Sodom, became an important figure there, made a lot of money, got his crops. It was a beautiful plain of everything, all kinds of things, but it was filled with perversion and everything. But he sat in the gate of the city, and God was ready to... He was at the point where he's going to destroy that city, so I'm going to destroy it. And you remember that as Lot was encountered with the, Lot was encountered with the angels. It says in verse 29, it says, so it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Abraham had pleaded with God and pleaded with God that he would spare Lot, and lo and behold, God was faithful to do that. What a horrible scene that was. Unbelievably destitute. Lot deserved everything that was going to happen to that city, but God remembered him because of faithful prayer of his uncle. And I wanted you to look this morning in what I think is a beautiful passage in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 17. Let me set the pace here for us to understand what's happened. The tribes of Israel, who had been traveling for 40 years in the wilderness, now have come on the east side of the River Jordan. They're ready to cross over the River Jordan. And they got family. I mean, it was just hundreds of people, probably at the total of somewhere around 1 million people or so that were ready to cross over the River Jordan. And we find that the Gadites and the Reubenites had a lot of cattle and a lot of the land that was on the east side of the river was very fertile. They had a place they could actually raise their cattle and their livestock and stuff. And they said, you know what, Moses, we want to just talk to you for a minute here. You think it'd be okay if we just stay on this side of the river? And everybody else can go over and possess the land. We don't want money. We just want this side of the river, the east side, where we can raise our animals and so forth. And that seemed kind of reasonable. Well, all right, they want to stay over here. Okay, we'll still go. But Moses had wisdom here, and we find that it says in verse 11, it says that... It says, and surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and older shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. And remember, they died in the wilderness. There was a whole generation that died. And these were the children that had grown up. Now these were part of the Gadites and the Reubenites were here. He says, I accept Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have fully followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you've risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. Says, wait a minute, I want you to know something right now. You're acting just like the original groups, that the 12 spies that went into the land, the ten spies. You're acting just like them. And he says, for if you turn away from following him, he will come once again to leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our young ones, but we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until they have brought them to their place, and for their little ones will dwell in the first fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. So what happened was there was a little attitude adjustment here. Moses says, listen, we need to stick together. We need to stay together as the tribes here all together. We don't need anybody all of a sudden deciding you're going to take your portion now. And here's the reason why. As they went across the river, finally all together, the Reubenites and the Gadites, we find that they actually went into, they did battle, they fought. They won. They went all through the land. They did what they could do to conquer as much of the land as possible. And then when it was all over, then Joshua meets with them, and it tells it later on here, and he says, okay, you guys want to go back over the east side of the river? Let's do it. But what we're going to do is we're going to build a memorial on this side of the river so that when the children of your children of the two tribes, the Gadites and the Reubenites, look at that memorial, and when the other tribes look at that memorial, they're going to say, guess what? Together, we defeated the enemy and took the whole land. We got skin in the game. Both of them got skin in the game. And so that was set up as a memorial and a remembrance from that point forward so that there would never be any division. They had won it together, and now they divided the land together, and there was no problem. You know, that's why it's important this morning that we have a local church. There's a commitment that's involved. I was reading this morning very early, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Yeah, you're familiar with it. You know what it says. But it talks about the fact that that everyone in the body shares together the concern for each and every one. Nobody's singled out. The least and the weakest are the most important for my focus. I don't have any exclusive thing where I think that maybe because I've succeeded in these particular areas or I have these particular gifts or so forth, that I don't need anybody else. You know what? Every one of us this morning needs one another very desperately. It's a beautiful thing if you look at a study, you find that in the book of, that in the New Testament, there are different things. There's almost 32 times that a phrase is used in the New Testament. That's very significant. And that is one another. One another. John 13, verse 14 says, "Wash one another's feet." Now, thank God we don't have to always, that's speaking, you know, it's speaking figuratively here about helping one another and everything, because there's some churches that practice that, and that's the first time in the month that anybody's washed up certain people's feet, and that's a little stinky mess. So anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. But it's talking about the fact that together you wash one another's feet. In other words, you lay down your life for one another. It goes on and it says there in John 13, the same chapter, verse 34, it says, and then, of course, to love one another. And then in Romans 12, verse 10b, it says to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then it says again another one another in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 16 and 15:5. Of Romans 12, verse 16, and then 15:5. Be of the same mind one toward another. Romans 14, verse 19. Build one another up. And it goes on and on. Times like that. Just 32 times throughout the New Testament. All the way through to Ephesians, into Hebrews, and so forth. Why is that? Because God wants us to remember one another like he's remembered each one. See, if God remembers you this morning, he remembers everybody else too, equally the same way. He doesn't forget somebody's labor of love. I remember as there was this man in Baltimore who had, he was getting a little bit of Alzheimer's, but this man had given and given and given sacrificially. He had inherited a certain amount of money, gave it all away, and he bought a Toyota. It was something like probably a 1982 Toyota. And he quietly picked up people every day to take them either to a service, to whatever, packed his car out in service nights, never heard a thing from him. Never wanted any acceptance or praise or anything. But boy, people got to meet and be placed at the feet of Jesus over and over and over again. His name was Dick Brainerd. He just passed away. And I remember how many times he took me different places in his old beat-up 82 Toyota. It had something like 300,000 miles on it. Good plug there for Toyotas. But the reality was, is you know what? God never forgot his investment. There are people today, when I even mention his name, He brought me to a rap. He brought me to church. He took me here. He had to take me down to Washington to get a visa. He had to get a passport. He did this, took me to the doctors, waited for me at the Who's he? Just very significant in the eyes of God. Because he did that to one another. And God remembers that today. Now, there's some things that God says negative too about one another. He says, don't judge one another. He uses this about seven times, different exhortations, negative exhortations. Don't lie to one another. Don't envy one another. Don't speak against another. Don't complain against one another. Why? Because those are the things God's forgotten. God doesn't forget someone has failed. Doesn't want you to run your mouth about them, because God has remembered them. That's what's perfect today. So this morning, I just, as I was thinking of these things and I just appreciating how much God remembers today, if God didn't remember us, none of us would make heaven. If he didn't remember Calvary, we would never make it. If he didn't remember that we were precious in his sight, we'd never realize it and find the expectation of his love. That's why Psalm 98, verse 3 says, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Isn't that great? I love that. In Psalm 78, verse 39, he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. He knows how weak we are, but he doesn't forget who we are. He's taken the weakest, the strangest, the least, the last, the lost, and made them the focus of his attention. Then as we draw this to conclusion today, they rose early in the morning in Samuel 19:20 and worshiped before the Lord. And we find the remembrance here of God. Remember, Hannah had gone before God and pleaded and up to see Eli and wanted a son, and it hadn't. And remember, Eli wasn't too kind to her, but just said, go home, you'll have a son. Well, it says here in verse 19 and 20, it says, they rose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning, and we praise you for your kindness and love to us. Thank you, Father, that you remember us, that you, Lord, have remembered that we are frail and weak. Thank you, Father, that you remembered your commitment to us, and you expect us to remember your commitment to our commitment to you. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 says, and then he said, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. It's important to remember, Father, we desire you'll help us to do that, that what you remember is what we want to remember, and what you forget, we want to forget. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the capacity by grace to understand and realize that for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.